how it feels like it has been a while since we've actually recorded.
It has been a couple of weeks. I don't mind doing a best of every once in a while to give us a week off when we've got something going on. But last week was a disaster.
For me and you.
Yes, for both of us. It was, well, for you, it was pain.
I forgot how much I hate hospitals. I'll tell you that right now. I like going to drop patients off, not being in there myself.
Not be a patient.
And not being a human pincushion.
Yeah, we thought Taylor's appendix was doing a thing. She's had some pain, and we started getting her in to see doctors, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And last Sunday night, a week ago,
the night before we're supposed to leave
for ICAST, Taylor was in the emergency room for 6 or 7 hours, and we ruled out her appendix.
Sitting there watching, what was it, Texas Rangers?
Yes, it's something like that.
It's like their
cop show,
their DNR.
Their DNR, that's right. Much, yeah, on the hospital TV. It's really a fun night. And, if everything hadn't been closed at 3 o'clock in the morning when we came home, we'd have stopped and got something to eat.
Waffle House.
Well, but I was even too tired for Waffle House. Then we had to make the decision about ICAST. And you didn't go to ICAST this year. So I went down while you were here, still going to doctors. You still had a doctor's appointment next week.
I think I went to 4 different doctor's appointments that week.
Yeah, and so that's why you had a replay of the prior week's show. It was just, I was in Orlando, she was here, my digital voice recorder had been giving me trouble, and I just didn't trust it enough to do something. I didn't get back home Friday in time enough to do a new show. So I made a decision, and like I said, we like to have new content here every week for you, make it as much fun and all. And we did, that was a good show. Everything Outdoors Fest is going to be fun. Hope you'll be there. We got a lot of work to do on that stuff since ICAST. We got some stuff coming up. So apologize for running that again, but it was just one of those weeks that was beyond our control. And you're feeling better?
I'm feeling better. I do have a question, though.
Yes. It's a hernia.
It's not a hernia. Think of all the 1,800 ultrasounds I've already had. I think it would have come up.
Okay.
I would love to know if anybody has gone snipe hunting yet. You know, it's snipe season now, Daddy. I would love to know if anybody's gone, and if anybody remembers the rules and regulations that are strictly enforced by SCDNR.
Oh, cow tipping and snipe hunting.
Cow tipping.
Oh me. So anyway, we are back this week. Yes, it has been we missed last week altogether, and it is a strange feeling when you miss a week. It's like I told somebody the other day. I've had a Saturday high school job ever since 2014. Every Saturday I have a job to do. And it's fun. I enjoy doing it. I hope you enjoy it. I love having Taylor here with me, and I hope we bring a little fun into your Saturday, maybe a little information, maybe help you get outside or keep you informed of what's going on. And if we do that, then we've done our job. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we've got Chris Brown. There's been some stuff going on in the Bassmaster Elite series, or the Bassmaster side of things with the open qualifications. It was ICAST week last week, and since Taylor wasn't there, we'll probably talk to Chris a little bit about that. And then Major League Fishing, some big announcement out of Major League Fishing this week with an angler, and it's some good stuff. And when we have that, we like to call somebody that knows it, and Chris Brown at Angler's Channel in Alabama is just a wealth of knowledge, perspective on the industry. And a really good friend. I don't think he would argue with that. We don't see each other as much as we'd like to. We talk and text and all. And when things come up like this, and you need a voice that knows the industry and has a lot of times a very different take on things, mm-hmm. with that experience, and that's Chris Brown. So he's going to be with us this show, and it'll be a good one. I saw this post from the local hiker. Says, good morning, friends. Did you think your first overnighter is closer than you think? Everything pictured here is part of our gear rental program. Come in and speak with us today, and we can kit you out and send you into the outdoors. And, okay, so right there's a backpack, some dry bags, a tent, sleeping pads and some other stuff. So they have a rental program at the local hiker in Spartanburg, rather than sink a bunch of money into it, to see, you're going to love being in the outdoors, I can promise you. Even if it's a total meltdown, rain and bugs and whatever, you're going to have fun outside, and it's going to be, looking back on it, you're going to laugh. So if it goes sideways, just go with it, have fun with it. But you can go rent all this stuff and figure out what you like before you go buy it, and that's the local hiker in Spartanburg. I saw that. I figured that was pretty cool. And we do have a calendar this week, a short one, because we do have some more stuff next week. We had to weed through what we had. It is the Dog Days of Summer. I actually have a Dog Days of Summer thing over there that I'm probably not going to get to. That with a lot of the things that we don't get to around here. But anyway, calendar brought to you by Capital City.
Lake Murray Country.
I hope you'll spend some time on Lake Murray or in the five counties that make up Lake Murray Country. There's lots of things to do. Mm-hmm. And we've got some news coming on that front, too, because we're going to be sharing some experiences with another visit Capital City Lake Murray Country person. That's going to get pretty fun, I think. I think we're having a lot of fun with this
one. We always have fun.
We do have fun. So, anyway, you first, ladies first.
Okay. Well, we're going to jump a little south from Lake Murray to Santee State Park, where they're having a Big Daddy fishing event on August 6th. Registration is 6 to 8 a.m. Event time is 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's a parking cost. It's open to children 12 and under with an adult, and there'll be prizes and awards. Need to bring your own fishing gear, sunscreen, and insect repellent. And you can stay at some of their campsites they have at the state park.
The James Robert Radio Kennedy Memorial Celebration to benefit the Outdoor Dream Foundation is coming up August the 12th at 6:30 at Washington Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina. Special guest, Ian Desmond. He's a former Major League Baseball infielder, three-time Silver Slugger Award winner, two-time All-Star appearance winner. There's opportunities for sponsorships for this thing. I'm sure they would love to have some more sponsors. There's some tickets available, and the Outdoor Dream Foundation fulfills the wishes of kids terminally ill or fighting illnesses and all to go in the outdoors and go on that special fishing trip or go on that special hunting trip that, you know, might make a lifetime of memories. Could be a turning point in that kid's life, you know, give him hope or something like that. That's the Outdoor Dream Foundation. Hope you'll, if you can, get involved in that one.
DNR and NWTF, along with South Carolina Wildlife Federation, is putting together a mentor workshop event. There are three different events, August 8th, 9th, and 11th, all from 2 to 6 p.m. One's at Wateree Range, another one's at Partridge Creek Gun Club, and then the NWTF in Edgefield. It's for... Basically, if you're interested in becoming a mentor for the outdoors, a hunting mentor, you're confident in your skills, you can go attend at least one of these, and you have to be 21 years of age to be a mentor, but you can attend all the workshops at 18, and you can go to the NWTF website to register. Also, if you have a annual or three-year hunting license or big game permit, your deer tags will be coming in the mail in the next couple of weeks, by August 15th, at longest stretch time. You still have to purchase you have to ask for your tags, and then you could also get them over the counter at some of the SCDNR offices in Charleston, Columbia, Clemson, Florence, Anner, and York.
All right. Got through that one. In other words, deer tags are coming, folks.
Deer tags are coming.
All right. Y'all hang on. Chris Brown with Anglers Channel when we get back. Where's Taylor? Hey, Roger, where's Taylor at? This was, folks, last week was ICAST, and this was my week. I spent well, not my week, but 2 days of my week last week were spent answering the question, where's Taylor? Now, I probably did a really stupid thing. I went on Facebook and I said, I posted a picture of her credentials and mine, and I said, yeah, here at ICAST this week, it'll be a good week or whatever, but I'm missing my sidekick. You know, she's at home under the weather, and yes. And I said something about I'm going to be answering the question of where's Taylor all week, and I did. And one of the people that actually did it, knowing full well why she wasn't there, was our guest today, who's Chris Brown from Angler's Channel. And because of the way I treated him afterwards, he said he's not going to speak to me, so Taylor, have the show.
Oh, okay, so that's dangerous.
Because he'll talk to you. He's not talking to me
yet. You should have just turned this over to me.
I've got no problem talking to both of you. I do. I just, you know, but you know dang well with this group, you don't go on social media and say, I'm going to be answering this question and not expect to walk into the show floor and not get it 1,000 times. I think I asked you in social media worst time.
You did. You did.
The
funniest thing, though, Chris, was I was standing at the Major League Fishing booth on Wednesday. And Charity is standing beside me to my right. Joe walks over, and Charity walks up at the same time, and Charity goes, hey, Roger, where's Taylor? And Joe just busts out laughing because he's thinking social media platform. Charity had no clue. She was totally innocent. I'm like, okay.
Surprisingly enough, she had no clue. Usually she's the one that has a clue.
Yes, but, yes.
So anyway.
I did, but I appreciate it, Chris. It's always fun to have you on. It's fun we have a chance to see each other in person. Don't get to do that a whole lot.
We don't. It's been kind of a crazy last few years with everything that's been going on, but it was good to see you, Taylor. We did miss you last week at ICAST. I think I told you off air, your dad's not as popular without you there.
I am back to the nobody relevance that I was before Taylor came on the scene.
You know, I kind of knew that he just wasn't as popular, but it's nice to hear it from somebody else. You know, it really makes me feel good and kind of solidifies what I've been thinking for the past 4 years.
I mean, he has to walk around with a whole different posse now. It doesn't do a lot of good for his image, I'll just be honest with you. So, it really doesn't.
Well, when you're sitting in a sushi restaurant taking wasabi shots.
I know.
That definitely does not look good.
Listen, and I'm just going to say this real quick. There's nobody that documented their meals at ICAST like you did, Roger. Congratulations on that. You won.
Absolutely.
You won the ICAST meal documentary.
Yes.
Because, right? I mean, every night it was a different, you know, sushi and steak and all the stuff that you ate.
Yes, that's
we
right.
We knew about it. So we knew where to stand around you.
Baby.
Obviously not behind you after dinner every night. So it was pretty good. So, sorry.
Well, I mean, that's just part of it, isn't it?
You just have a thing for food.
I enjoy food. It was Taylor's Barbecue in Bird Dog Capital of the World in Georgia. I can't remember the name of it now, but it's Taylor's Barbecue on the way down there. Then it was we went to another sushi restaurant. Then we went to Palo or something like that. It's a Puerto Rican joint you need to check out next time, Chris. It's really good. Packed slam full of locals. And, I mean, it was more local standing outside waiting to get in at 8 o'clock than we went in at 6:30.
There you go.
And it was good food. I never had much Puerto Rican food. And then then I guess it was a Strike King dinner. And then coming home, it was another barbecue Chick-fil-A. Joint in South Georgia.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Those South Georgia barbecue joints are some of the best around.
Oh, they are. And we got some good ones in South Carolina, but man, there's some soul food joints in South Georgia.
Man.
I had a buddy one time that we would try to find those in South Alabama and South Georgia. And the best one I ever went to was a little concrete building or a cinder block building. And you had to step over the first row of cinder blocks to get in the door.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
Because there was no concrete on the floor. It's all dirt, right? So you walked from the dirt parking lot, step over a concrete block, first row, into a dirt floor, And just phenomenal barbecue. I couldn't even tell you where it is now, but it was incredible. So some good places down there for sure.
That sounds like a place just on the outside of Augusta, Georgia, we used to eat at.
It probably wasn't too far.
Yeah, I mean it was yeah, and you stepped in and the barbecue pit was right outside, had picnic tables in there and a screened in area for you to eat, and they gave you like 6 pieces of white bread with your meal.
Oh yeah.
Those are such good places. Oh my gosh. See? It you know, the food is ICAST is the place you're going, but the food on the way down there and back is just part of it.
And to think, sure, I was stuck here eating Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Not really, but I was.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I did miss you, sweetheart. I know you missed you.
You didn't bring me back any sushi either.
We ate sushi on like Tuesday night. I'm not going to bring you sushi back on Friday. We had Tuesday night. Our fridge was broken. We had a little mini fridge. So.
Oh my gracious.
Anyway. Anyway, Chris, thanks for taking time out of your day to be with us and all. We truly have a good time, as the past 5 or 6 minutes have been a testament to. But we got like 5 or 6 minutes left in the segment, and folks, when there's issues that come up, I've been around since 2014. Okay, so that sounds like a long time until I, you know, start talking to Chris, who's, this is his, I believe, 20th ICAST, and he's been in this industry a long time. And when I get in, it's like I try to do the show. And instead of me trying to be the expert and tell you all this stuff, I find an expert. And luckily I have one that now will answer Taylor's telephone calls.
Yep. And text messages.
And grudgingly do mine. But I want you, he has anglerschannel.com is his deal. He covers the Alabama Bass Trail. He's been in this industry for longer than I want to think about. I'm sure he's, you know, sometimes he looks back and goes, gosh, really? But give us 4 or 5 minutes on your experience in the fishing industry.
Sure. Well, I will say it is kind of interesting. I was actually on a mower this morning when Siri in my earbuds said, you know, text from Taylor Metz. I'm like, who? What? Oh, Taylor. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, she reads the text off to me. So it was kind of comical, but like, oh yeah, absolutely. I know who this is.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of funny there, but no, you're right. I mean, this was about 20th ICAST. I am just over 20 years in this industry and started out as a sales and marketing assistant, consumer relations guy for Strike Team Lure Company back in 2002, and really cut my teeth there. I mean, I fished forever, but lived in Memphis and worked for Strike King out of Cargill there for 10 years, and you know, really cut my teeth there in the industry. Came up to be a marketing director there the last few years. So we talk about Mark Copley and Strike King.
Yeah.
And Mark actually holds the job that I used to have when I was at Strike King. So all the things he does, I've been there, done that. And you know, I was there when we had to market a little bait called Sexy Shad.
Ah.
And all that different stuff, you know, some guy named KVD.
Who was that?
Mark Rose, all those guys. Yeah, exactly. So these, you know, it's funny, that media dinner that we had that night.
Yeah.
At ICAST, Tommy Aiken, who used to be our PR director at Strike King, a little PR firm out of Greenville, Tennessee. I'll never forget my first ICAST, and he said, hey, we're going to do this dinner, and this is something we're going to have, and we can't go over like 16 people. I'm like, okay, great. And next thing you know, this grew and grew and grew and grew. I think my last year there, we had 36, and Tommy and I were both just like, you know, but I mean, the things that we did were incredible, working with media like yourself and others. And it was just a lot of fun. And I know I mentioned this on my show last night, but, you know, we lost our friend Ed Harp last week, and Ed was one of those OG guys that that we brought to a lot of riders functions and things, always did a world of good for Strike King. But that was, I cut my teeth at Strike King. I bled, you know, navy and teal colors for years and still do.
Yeah.
But left there and went to the hunting industry for a year or two. I actually spent a year or so at Bass at one point in time in my career. And then I went to Rigid Industries and was running their marine division for LED lighting back in, I guess, 2013, 2014, when Colin came out with all those lights on his truck and everything. And
right,
really got to kind of pioneer that coming in. And then about, well, 6 years ago, January of 16, I got invited to come run EnglishChannel.com. And I'm a tournament guy. I've been a tournament guy all my life, and love the tournament angler, especially the grassroots guys like us that work all week and fish all weekend.
Right.
And except for you, Taylor, you just do what you want to do and not worry about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been running English Channel for 6 years. We do, obviously, our website. We have a TV show. And, we also do some TV and live stream production here in the state of Alabama. The Alabama Bass Trail. We do all their TV work, and we also started this year live streaming their events. So rather than pull a boat to the events now, I pull a 18-foot
trailer,
enclosed trailer. Yeah. That's kind of my that's my production suite, and I get to live stream and direct all that now. So I've kind of come full circle. I've done everything in this industry but
fish
on the Elite Series. That's it. So, but, you know, I've sold media. I've bought media. I actually used to buy advertising from English Channel when I worked for Strike King. So
Wow. Now
that role has been reversed, and I'm selling advertising to Strike King. So it's really been a pretty wild ride. And my wife asked me now and again, she goes, if you could do something different, what would you do? And I'm like, I would not work in the fishing industry. If I ever change jobs from English Channel, I'm going to like sell windows or do something completely different. Right. I'm going to grab this completely. But I laugh, but my heart and soul is in this industry. And so it's funny when you call, you know, either just during the week on other topics, you know, with things that go on,
yeah,
like, you know, or the text, you know, what do you about this, what do you about that? Because, you know, been there, done that, got that T-shirt.
Yeah.
And we've seen it all in the last 20 years, really have.
Absolutely have. He is, I appreciate Chris for everything he does. I mean, he is a busy guy. And, to show you what kind of guy he is, we have two life jackets hanging in here, Taylor, that Chris gave us one time when we showed up without life jackets. So that's the kind of guy he is, if you need any more reference work. But anyway, we spent this first one just kind of getting acquainted and talking about some things. We got some important stuff to talk about, both on the Bassmaster side, on the Major League Fishing side, and we're going to talk a little bit about ICAST. So y'all hang on. We'll be back. More Woods and Water South on the other side. Wanted to pick some music for the show.
Don't. Good gosh, don't.
Well, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Hope you're tuned in. If you're listening and you got a buddy that's in the fishing industry or likes to fish or whatever, we're going to talk a little fishing and then a little ICAST, and it's all interesting stuff. We're going to try to be diplomatic about this and kind of just the facts type stuff, but there's some stuff going on that's kind of raised some eyebrows and we're gonna talk about it because like you heard last segment, Chris is a wealth of information. He's got contacts and understands things. And what are you pointing to me for? What are you pointing to me for?
Continue your thought.
Oh, okay. I'm sitting there, my coach sitting there going, pointing to this and pointing to that. Like, what am I supposed to do here? But anyway, we're really thankful to have Chris on the show. And it's going to be some opinions. It's probably some topics that are not pleasant, maybe, for some people out there. But it's stuff that's going on that's relevant. And rather than let it go 2-3 months down the road, we figure we just talk about it now.
While it's still fresh.
While it's still fresh and the wounds are still deep.
oh, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So why'd you push this over here? This is your deal.
No, the next one is my deal.
What's – oh. Oh, so I'm doing that one.
Yes, you are.
Which one? This one or that one? This one. Okay.
God.
We have lines of communication that go around and around the room four or five times. All right. So, all right. News out of Bass. A week or so ago, the opens. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but if you fished a division of the opens, which has northern, southern, and centrals, if you fished a division – and I finished first, you got an invitation to the elites. Was that correct?
If you actually, it's the top three.
Top three.
In each division.
Okay.
And currently top three in each division, and then the top three in overall points. So actually there's 12 people
that could possibly. Yes.
Correct. This year in 2022. 2023.
Yeah.
It drops down to only 9.
And rather than just fishing three events and one, you know, the Southern, Central, or Northerns, you got to fish all 9.
You do. And so it really, you can look at it two ways, in my opinion.
All right.
This is just Chris Brown's opinion.
That's why we called you.
So you can look at it in a couple of different ways. But you really got to ask yourself as an opens angler, why are you fishing the opens? Are you trying to qualify for the Elite Series? Or are they coming to your local lake that you know really well, so you're going to fish one division just to make the Classic? Because let's face it, the Classic is really where you want to be, right? Everybody wants to cross that stage, right? I mean, do I want to be an Elite Series angler? No, I don't. I don't have those skills or that money or that time. Would I love to fish the Bassmaster Classic? Absolutely. I mean, I would. But, I mean, so you've got that opportunity still by fishing the Northerns, the Southerns, or the Centrals, just fishing, you know, one of those three divisions, and you'll be fine. But if you want to qualify for the Elites, I mean, yeah, fishing all of them, you know, this year, that gives you really 3 to 4 chances to qualify.
Right.
But, you know, it's not reality, though, to fish, in my opinion, it's not reality to fish 3, qualify for the Elites, and feel like you're ready to go for a 8 or 9 event season when you do qualify and go. I mean, you think about it, you play high school football, you play 10, 11, 12 games. You go to the college level, you're playing 10, 11, 12 games. Then you go to the NFL level. And yes, everything, it gets harder and harder and harder as you go up, but you're still playing the same amount of games. You're still playing, you know, the competition gets tougher.
Right.
But in terms of the opens, you're going to fish 3, qualify for the Elites, and then all of a sudden you're prepared to go fish 9 the next year in a back-to-back scenario in most cases, in a lot of events. It's really a big jump. And I think that, I mean, do I like this? I mean, was it a shock when this came out? No. And to me, it wasn't, because it's been 2 or 3 years since Bass changed up their qualification process. It was due. Okay. Something was bound to happen. We knew that, whether it was adding a division, adding a championship, doing something, we knew it was coming. We just didn't know it would be to this extent. This kind of weeds out some people that maybe, you know, wanted to, but probably in reality weren't going to. And it might open the door for some people. But like I talked to a guy earlier, he's like, man, I want to do it, but I can't afford to fish 9 events.
Right.
You know, so there's pros and cons to it. But I think what you'll see is, you know, I did talk to some guys at ICAST that were for it. But being for it, there are still things that Bass has to do on their side to make it worth their while. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, and I don't know all those details, but maybe it's setting a field size to a certain amount and not having any more. Maybe it's, you know, they've got to increase the payout one way or another to make it worth their while to fish 9.
Because you've had 200 plus boats in some of these opens before.
You have more than that, 250 in some. So you've got to set a field size. You've got to raise your payout, because guys are going to take 9 weeks of their life to do this. Oh, and you've got to set an off limit. If you're going to make it a true qualification for the Elites, you've got to set some boundaries. You can't have guys that work and take 9 weeks vacation or, you know, unpaid vacation to go do this to try to qualify, And then you've got the retired guy that's been camping at the lake for the last 6 weeks, you know, that's been practicing, right? He knows every nook and cranny, every log and limb. You got to set some kind of off limits as well. You got to make it a true, you know, minor league playing field for that elite level, and make it to where, you know, it's as a real scenario as possible, in my opinion. So,
Taylor.
No, I think the same thing. I think there's a bunch of different things that need to be, like, taken into account when you're trying to pick a side. Not that you have to or even can pick a side in a situation like this, I feel like, because there are so many pros and cons to it. My first thought was this put in place to protect some of the pros that would have gotten, you know, knocked down a couple pegs with new talent coming in that would really fight for it? Was it better before when it wasn't so hard to get to that spot? Was it making the pros work harder because they knew there was competition coming in? But it's stolen opportunity for a lot of people that, like you said, can't afford, you know, all those 9 tournaments to get to where they want to go. It's not about, oh, well, you just don't want it enough. No, I want it plenty, but I can't afford it kind of thing. I feel like that's two sides that I could see on it.
And I think we've not seen over the past couple of years on the Elite Series some guys who qualified through the Opens come up and just fish like 1 year and be gone.
Yeah.
Have we not seen that over the last couple of years?
We have, because, I mean, you come up and you fish 3 events and you qualify for the Elites. And then all of a sudden, I mean, just think about it. By the time most of the Opens are over and the invitations go out, it's late October
or November,
early November.
Yeah.
Right. And so then all of a sudden you've got basically December. You got probably 2 weeks in December.
Yeah.
And then you've got January. So probably in reality, you've got 6 to 7 weeks because nobody works the week of Thanksgiving.
Right.
Nobody's going to work the week of Christmas and New Year's in this industry. Right.
Right. Yep.
And they're sure as heck not going to answer phone calls about, you know, about sponsorships. I've got that t-shirt too. So you only got a certain amount of time to do it. And I'm sorry, you know, when that first $8,000 or whatever it is deposit's due to Bass, my God, you better be ready to go.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you're starting behind the eight ball. There's a lot of stuff that's got to happen in that time frame. For me, the guys that are fishing all 9 right now, they're serious and they want to get there and they want to do it, you know, and they've worked to get there. But does it cheat some people? Yeah, it probably does. Are there some guys that are fishing the Elites right now or will possibly qualify for the Elites this year, the Opens, that this is probably the best time they'll ever have to make it? Yeah, you're right. They wouldn't survive 90 events.
Yeah.
That would do it. They just wouldn't,
in
my opinion. So it's good and bad. It just depends on which side of the coin you're on. So.
Ah, yes. There goes another segment, Tay. It happens.
And we said we're going to get through
so
two of
fast.
Our topics.
We're two of our topics. Yeah, I was when I first real quickly mine. I felt for the guy who's probably a really good fisherman who might can make it on the Elite Series, but now we'll never know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing.
That.
You know, they might be really good and they might be a great PR guy and be able to get in there and make it happen. And I feel for that guy. So. Who knows? But nobody ever said life was fair, right, Chris?
That's exactly right. And we've seen this in the past with the old FLW Tour.
Yep.
And some of that, guys would pay their way in and it just didn't last.
Yep.
So you never know.
All right, quick ending. Y'all hang on. We'll be back with Major League Fishing on this side of this break, maybe. Hang on. Well, as much as I'd like to sit here and listen to music, we've got some... These segments go awfully fast when there's 3 of us, Chris. Now I know why your show is longer than mine is.
Yeah, we need to invest in, like, could you imagine what we do with a 2-hour show, Dad?
Yeah, no.
We could cover some ground.
I know
in
we
that,
could cover
though.
Some ground. In weeks like this, you could use it. In other weeks, we'd have to work a little harder.
Just a lot. Exactly. A lot has happened over the past 2 weeks.
It has been. All right, so go ahead.
Well, one of the things that's happened actually in the past couple of days is MLF sent out a media advisory going back to.
Actually, didn't send it out.
Well, I was going to say, let me say, posted. They didn't send it out. Yeah. It's just there.
Yes, yeah, there.
Posted. Kind of going back to one of their pro tour stops in West Monroe, Louisiana, regarding Jeff Sprague. There was a little bit of a information leak or an attempt to get an information leak.
Attempt. It was pretty blatant.
Well, yeah, but
you don't have to be that diplomatic.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just lay it out there.
He asked another angler about some information about the lake itself. And that is violating one of the Pro Tour rules. And as a result of that, he had to forfeit his fifth place finish. Now, we have had some issues with information in the past.
Both sides.
On both sides,
and
yes.
Major League Fishing.
This is kind of, I mean, it's not really a matter of opinion in this. It's, well, I guess it is a matter of opinion. How should something like that be handled?
Is a fine good enough?
Yeah, is a fine, a $5,000 fine, or does it require a forfeit? Because it does affect some other anglers. We see,
Edwin Evers. I can read your mind.
We see he missed the top 10 finish. He was in 11th place. So we could look at it as, was he cheated out of, you know, a win by this?
$1,000.
Yeah. So what do you think, Chris?
Well, my problem with this is twofold, or maybe threefold. I don't know. But the issues that I have with it is the rule as it reads, they cannot receive information from a non-competitor within the BPT the day the schedule comes out or when they learn about the location of the events, right? This was the DR Bone event.
Right.
It was February 5th of this year. It was the first event of the season. And we went back and looked. That schedule came out September 21st.
Right.
Okay. And now, granted, the text messages that were leaked, supposedly, you can't credit that source as a good source.
Okay.
But assuming that's right, he was asking for information around, you know, the 1st of December. So he was still the current waters were not off limits, but he knew where they were going and what was going to happen.
Right.
And so, you know, that's strike one. But you look at the media advisory and his quote, and he says, you know, I fully accept MLS penalty of disqualification for the stage one event. I want to apologize for my mistake in this matter. Guys, it's not a mistake.
No.
He blatantly asked for information, all right? That's just called breaking the rules. Mm-hmm. So it's not a mistake. That should be swiped out of that completely because it wasn't.
Right.
It was a blatant disregard for the rule, in my opinion. Now, the other side of that is we just saw it in NASCAR last weekend. Two teams get disqualified immediately after the race. Why is it the end of July
and we're just doing this?
We're just now hearing about this, yeah. Right? They're just now doing something about it. And it wasn't because it got leaked by, you know, on the internet or what? I don't know. That's my deal with it. For me, he should be disqualified from that. And if I'm an angler in that series paying money, I've got my eye on Sprague because you don't know if this is the first event that happened, you don't know how often it's happened since. So,
well, and another thing is, like, the other thing that got me when he said my mistake, he's a seasoned competitor.
Been there for a long time.
Yeah. He knows the rules probably inside and out. So there was no way it was an actual mistake. He did up front. Ask for information. So I can't quite pick a side on this yet of whether it's a fine or disqualification. But you did make a good point. If you're another angler from that point of view, that's your money kind of thing.
Taylor, they're taking money out of their pockets.
Yeah.
It would be the same if you and I were fishing against each other and I'm taking money away from you and I cheated. You're taking money away from other anglers is what you're doing. Point blank, period, the end. I mean, that's just the way it is. The fact that it's just now being handled says a lot about the organization. Mm-hmm. And if I'm an angler in that organization, I really want to know, I want to know what's happening down to the bottom line of it, because that's money coming out of my pocket that's ultimately, you know, putting food on my table at the end of the day. So.
And it was this was reaching a boiling point very quickly from conversations that I had with a couple of Major League Fishing guys. This was getting kind of heated because of the inaction and the mystery of what is the solution to this. I mean, some of the guys were saying, hey, he ought not be allowed in the Red Crest. Simply because it was not a mistake. It wasn't like he heard somebody talking and listened. Yeah. It was, he asked.
He knew what he wanted and he, yeah.
And there was a lot of, there's a few of them that are saying this ought to be a Red Crest disqualification for this year.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I mean, because if it's taking this long to do something about it, you know, how many more times has it happened?
Yeah.
And we guys have not come forward.
Yeah. And I know it's happened before because we've had fines. Sure. You know, we've had fines. Yeah. And that's why I just don't think a fine is a good enough thing.
Yeah.
No, because you can fine guys for cussing, but you're not going to do anything about this.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, a fine is if a guy can win $20,000 and pay a $5,000 fine, it's worth it. if you're just going to fine him.
Right. Okay. Right. But it says a lot about. I mean, we fish team tournaments, we film team tournaments, we've seen action taken the day of when something like this happens.
Yeah.
You fill a polygraph, you're out.
You're out.
It's done.
That's
right?
it.
Yeah.
And now we're dragging our feet. And had it not come public, would we have known about it?
Would we have known about it?
That's what I wondered.
So. But
I don't know.
Anyway.
Interesting. All right. Well, we chewed up a lot more on that one than we wanted to. But it's relevant stuff. All right. Let's talk about ICAST for a minute. Taylor, you're irrelevant at this because you weren't there.
I'm irrelevant.
Hey, where's Taylor?
Yeah, where's Taylor?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Gosh. Two words that I never want to hear again. All right, Chris. You're a lot busier than we are when we're down there. Taylor and I are down there. It's more of a social event. We are looking at new stuff. We're going through the new product showcase, just kind of seeing what's out there, if anything really grabs us. Otherwise, it's really just keeping up friendships and
sure.
seeing people and all that. You're down there for a totally different purpose. What are you seeing at ICAST from your standpoint? And we got about 3 minutes.
You know, this year was different. I got there on Tuesday night late, walked in the new product showcase on Wednesday morning. Usually it's packed in the new product showcase. And usually there's a lot of new products in there, and there was quite a few. But, you know, the thing that struck me that I keep coming back to is I had to go looking for the freshwater soft baits and hard baits, the stuff that's usually jam-packed full of new products. I had to go looking for it because it wasn't just in your face like it usually is. I saw a lot less stuff in new product showcase, in my opinion, than what I've seen in the past. And I don't know if it's a supply chain issue, if it's, you know, just, you know, not having the, you know, enough people to create the stuff, but I just didn't see as much new stuff this year as what I thought I would see. And while, you know, David Jong, my social media ninja, did an incredible job getting stuff up for Anchor's channel, just didn't see the wow factor there that I really thought I would see. And Grant, I'm in meetings all day, you know, talking advertising and things with different vendors and different partners, but just didn't hear or see, you know, what I thought I would see in the past. And you know, we were back to kind of pre-COVID levels, I guess, as far as attendance go, but just not the I hate to say game changer, but not the game changers that I thought I would see this year.
Is there a lot of room left for game changers? I mean, my goodness, it seems like everything is the same for 3 or 4 years, and everybody's just knocking off a thing, and then there'll be something, you know. Max scent flatworms, you know?
Yeah. Bait fuel was a big talk last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they got some infused stuff. I think I just didn't see the marketing push behind some companies that I normally see, but I saw it from others that I didn't expect. So it was both good and bad, I guess, you know, being an OG Strike King guy, I was expecting to see more out of certain camps, but just didn't see it.
Yeah.
But that mean it wasn't there. It didn't come into my inbox.
What's your And we talk about this every year because the crackdown on media sometimes and that sort of thing is the all the content producers running around, all the teenagers with cameras and latest news and stuff like that who really aren't into fishing. They're just there because it's a place to be.
Sure.
What's your thoughts on that? How do you control that?
I would rather see the Pelagic girls than I would all the social media kids running around.
Taylor just spontaneously erupted and combusted over here.
No, I'm kidding. No, you know, there's some, I say kids because they are to me, but there are some kids in the space that do the social media, that do that stuff, that are really good and they're really respectful. But there are a lot that have no clue what they're doing in terms of being in that space.
Right.
And they're not respectful. And I don't like it. I just don't. And I know times have changed. I've been there 20 years, but you know, you don't just walk up in front of some of these guys and interrupt conversations and what they're doing to get your fodder for TikTok or whatever real quick. It's there's a level of respect there. And this goes back to the BPT thing too, with the deal. We're a good old boy sport, guys.
Oh, yeah.
We're a good old boy sport. Yeah. And, you know, I trust you on the water as much as you trust me. And if I don't trust you on the water, trust an angler, a lot happens with that.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Man, time flies, Taylor. Doesn't it, Chris? Oh, man.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Absolutely. Look, it's always a pleasure having you on. We're grateful for your time and your expertise. And we look forward to doing this again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you all so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Good enough. All right, folks. Make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget that camera. We'll see you back here. We're probably not done with ICAST, but I don't have a whole lot to add to what Chris said. But anyway, back next week. More Woods and Water, South Carolina. Hit me from behind, 'cause I'm gone.